Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU First Quarter 2018 Earnings Conference Call and Webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. I'm here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the first quarter of 2018, as well as some other relevant items, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the Investor Relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the Financial Information section. If it doesn't pop up right away, try selecting the year and the quarter. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today. So just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number 2 of our presentation. As a final administrative note, this quarter we once again presented our construction materials subsidiary, Construmart, as available for sale. That will be the case all year because although the sale was completed in April, we still need to present Construmart's contribution to the first 4 months of the year. This creates comparability issues with previous periods. There's a full description on slide number 3, but to summarize, we have restated the first quarter 2017 P&L numbers, so those numbers are comparable to first quarter 2018. The balance sheet compares March 31, 2018 to December 31, 2017, and Construmart was presented as available for sale in both of those periods, so those numbers are also comparable. Where you have to be careful is with comparisons between these numbers and prior periods. The cash flow statement has not been restated, so that is not comparable between the first quarter of 2018 and the first quarter of 2017. If you have any questions about this, please feel free to get in touch. Moving on to the numbers, on slide 4, we have revenues and same-store sales figures. These numbers only include the food retail business. Construmart is not included here. Revenue for the first quarter of 2018 amounted to 566 billion pesos, an increase of 2.7% with respect to the first quarter of 2017. Gross margin in the quarter reached 28.5%, an increase of 20 basis points with respect to the first quarter of 2017. Same-store sales and sales per square meter performance was in line with revenue performance. We had overall same-store sales growth of 3.2% in the quarter, driven by 3.4% growth in Unimark and 4.1% in cash and carry, and with a slight decrease in the convenience format. In Peru, we had a slight increase. Sales per square meter continued to grow, reaching an average across all food retail formats in both Chile and Peru of 309,000 pesos per month for the first quarter of 2018. On the next slide, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing the first quarter of 2017 to the first quarter of 2018, where we had strong growth from the supermarkets and cash and carry segments. Our Unimark supermarkets, which account for approximately 70% of our revenue, had revenue growth of 3.0%. The cash and carry format also had revenue growth of 3.0%, and this was driven by Mayorista 10, which grew 4.7% in the quarter. In the convenience and e-grocery formats, we had lower revenues, and Peru also decreased, but in the case of Peru, the decrease is related to the exchange rate. In local currency, Peru's sales increased slightly, which is particularly noteworthy because the first quarter of last year, flooding in Peru resulted in more volume sales for our format there, and revenue grew over 20%. The increase in Peru for the first quarter of 2018 was 0.3%, the same as the same-store sales growth, which is measured in local currency. On slide number 6, we have operating expenses, defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. OPEX for the first quarter increased 2.2%, but as a percentage of revenue, it actually decreased slightly, from 22.1% to 22.0%. Administrative expenses increased 1.6% because we had increases in services and lease expenses. but our personnel expenses fell by 2.7%, which is significant considering personnel expenses account for around half of our total OPEX. The decrease in personnel expenses is a result of the organizational restructuring program we carried out in January. As you can see in the graph below, average headcount fell as a result, around 7.3% year over year. The cost of the restructuring program had a negative impact on our non-operating income, but that is a one-time effect, and going forward, we will continue to see savings as a result of this initiative. Distribution expenses grew 14.9% in the quarter, mainly as a result of higher sales and the increase in our decentralized distribution. The graph at the bottom left shows that we have continued to make improvements here, and in the first quarter of this year, 46.5% of our revenue came from products that went through our distribution centers, higher than the 44.5% we achieved in the first quarter of 2017 and the 45.1% we achieved in full year 2017. The rest of the products were delivered directly by suppliers to our stores. On slide 7, we have our EBITDA, which again only reflects the food retail business. EBITDA in the first quarter of 2018 amounted to 36.6 billion pesos. An 8.3% increase with respect to 2017. And EBITDA margin grew approximately 40 basis points, from 6.1% in the first quarter of last year to 6.5% in the first quarter of this year, resulting from improvements in both gross margin and operating expenses as a percentage of revenue. On slide 8, we have net income, which fell more than 90% in the first quarter, but this is due to two extraordinary expenses. First is the cost of the restructuring program that I mentioned before, approximately 8 billion pesos that was reflected in non-operating loss. The second is the cost of prepaying our international bond. We had extraordinary financial expenses of about 5 billion pesos in the first quarter, which includes the prepayment costs, the unwind of our cross-currency swap, and the recognition of issuance expenses. Before taxes, the combined impact of both effects is nearly 13 billion pesos. On the bottom part of the slide, we've included an exercise showing real pre-tax income, which fell by 9.5 billion pesos, and pre-tax net income excluding these two effects, in which case we would have seen an increase of approximately 3.4 billion pesos, in line with the improvement in EBITDA. We decided to carry out both of these initiatives because they will both generate savings for the company going forward that will more than make up for these one-time costs. On slide 9, we have an update on some of our operating initiatives as part of our strategic plan, Plan CIMA. With respect to customer experience, one of our most important initiatives is upgrading a group of our Unimark supermarkets. We initially identified 130 Unimark stores that we plan to upgrade over 5 years. So far, we've completed 10, and we are currently working on the next group of 10. This year, we plan to upgrade a total of 30 stores. We've also opened 2 new OK Market stores in Santiago so far this year. With respect to operating efficiency, one of the main initiatives is increasing our centralized distribution so we can optimize our inventory management. As I mentioned before, we are at a centralization rate of 46.5% for the first quarter of 2018. This year, we have continued our training program that seeks to standardize key in-store processes, and we are currently rolling out the program at a group of 60 stores. This is another initiative that targets improved operating efficiency. On the next slide, we have a summary of our recent financial highlights. I'll start with the placement of the Series T local bond just at the beginning of the second quarter, on April 5th. The placement amount was 2.5 million U.S., or approximately $110 million. This bond has a coupon rate of U.S. plus 3.00% and a placement rate of U.S. plus 3.04%. And given that the use of proceeds was to refinance our international bond with its dollar plus 7.75% interest rate, we will be seeing savings from this going forward, but I'll come back to that in just a minute. The Series T bond matures in 7 years, March 2025, and it has a 4-year grace period on capital. Next, we have the prepayment of 100% of our international bond. This bond was issued in 2013, and as I just mentioned, the interest rate was 7.75%. It originally matured in February 2020. We've used the proceeds from our capital increases in November of last year and January of this year, plus the local bond we issued in April, in order to fully prepay this bond. We made 3 partial redemptions, one on February 9th for $120 million, one on April 2nd for $80 million, and the last on May 15th for $100 million. The prepayment cost is about 2%, and as I mentioned before, we also had to recognize the effect of unwinding the cross-currency swap, as well as the issuance expenses. The prepayment of our international bond represents a significant improvement to our financial situation. We have less debt, less expensive debt, and a more favorable maturity profile. Another recent highlight was the completion of the sale of Konstrumart on April 27th. Konstrumart has been available for sale since 2013, in line with our strategy to focus on our core business, food retail. We originally signed the agreement to sell Konstrumart in November of last year, and in January, we signed the share purchase agreement following the successful completion of the due diligence review. In March, we received approval from the antitrust authority. The price agreed upon for the assets was approximately 51 billion pesos, and considering this, the discount of Konstrumart's debt, the equity value amounted to approximately 39 billion pesos. In addition, in accordance with the sale agreement, SMU received the payment of approximately 7 billion pesos for related party debt. As a result, the total cash amount received by SMU for this transaction was approximately 46 billion pesos. The proceeds from the sale will be used primarily to reduce debt, including the payment of tranche 3 of our syndicated loan for approximately 17 billion pesos, which was made on the same day as the closing of the transaction. Finally, the strong operating results and significant improvements to our financial position continue to be accompanied by a rating upgrade. In the first quarter, we attained investment grade ratings of BBB- with all three of our local rating agencies, and in February, we had a further upgrade from Humphreys to BBB. At the end of March and the end of April, respectively, ICR and Feller Rate also upgraded our rating to BBB. On slide 11, we have an overview of our financial debt, showing the significant improvements we've made in the last year and a half. The capital increases and operating cash generation have allowed us to significantly reduce our level of indebtedness, and the local bond placements have allowed us to significantly reduce our cost of debt. By prepaying the international bond, we have not only paid down some very expensive debt, but we have also practically eliminated our exposure to the dollar, which is important since we do not have revenue in dollars. And as we'll see on the next slide, we have also transformed our debt maturity profile. The pie charts on the left are only financial debt, excluding leases. The pro forma charts demonstrate how our debt will be composed following the placement of the Series P bond, prepayment of 100% of the international bond, and prepayment of tranche 3 of the syndicated loan. As you can see, we are left only with local bonds and bank debts, and currency-wise, we have mostly U.S. and some pesos. On the right-hand side, in the net debt to EBITDA figures, we're including the leases, so this includes all of the financial liabilities on our balance sheet, and we continue to make improvements here, reaching levels of 4.2 times as of March 31st, and pro forma, considering the events that have taken place during the second quarter, we are down to 4.0 times. On slide number 12, we have a debt maturity profile comparing the real situation as of March 31st with the situation following the Series T bond placement, international bond prepayment, and prepayment of tranche 3 of the syndicated loan. In the first graph, we've moved the international bond, which is the part in red, from its original maturity date of 2020 to 2018, given that in our financial statements, we classified this bond as current debt due to our decision to prepay it during the second quarter. In the graph below, the international bond is gone, and part of it is replaced by the Series T local bond with maturities between 2022 and 2025. The new maturity profile is much more evenly distributed and in line with the cash flows we expect to generate going forward. Finally, we held our annual ordinary shareholders meeting on April 26, where the issues approved by shareholders were, as the name suggests, ordinary. They approved the annual report, the rating agencies, and external auditors, to name a few. Shareholders also elected the board of directors, and we have two new independent directors as a result, and the remaining seven directors were on the board previously. On the same day, we also held an extraordinary shareholders meeting, the purpose of which was to submit for shareholder approval the capitalization of issuance expenses and accumulated losses. Shareholders approved both matters, and on slide 13, we have a summary of the accounting impacts. The numbers on this slide reflect shareholders' equity as of December 31, 2017, adjusted for the effects of the January 2018 capital increase and related issuance expenses. On the left, you can see the accumulated losses as of that date, as well as the share issuance and placement expenses associated with the three capital increases we have completed in January 2017, November 2017, and January 2018. On the right, you can see what shareholders' equity looks like after the capitalization. The accumulated losses and issuance expenses have been subtracted from paid-in capital, but total shareholders' equity does not change. This is just a redistribution within the accounts of shareholders' equity. The total number of subscribed and paid shares also does not change. It's the same number we had following the January 2018 capital increase, 5,772,576,856. Another important factor is that this change is only for accounting purposes. It does not affect our accumulated tax losses. And finally, by capitalizing our accumulated losses, we are now legally required to pay dividends, beginning with any net profits for the year 2018. Such dividends will be paid in 2019. The legal minimum dividend payment in Chile is 30% of net income. We wanted to include this explanation in today's call because shareholders' equity will be looking quite different in our June financial statement. Feel free to contact me if you have any further questions about this. That's it for our presentation. If there are any questions, Marcelo and Arturo will be happy, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Alonso Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Yeah, I have two questions. Can you first comment on same-store sales? How much of the improvement that you saw this quarter has been related to calendar effects, to Easter being in the first quarter rather than the second quarter last year, and whether this improving trend has continued in April and May? And then my second question is regarding the remodeled stores. Can you just tell us or give us some color about the performance of the 10 stores that have been remodeled and whether those have been in line with your expectations?
Okay. Hi, Alonso. First question, same-store sale and the Easter effect. You are right. We had an effect in March because in the last year, this was in April, and for this reason, the same store sale will be affected in March, and also we have some effect in May, not for the Eastern situation, because the calendar in April and the end of the month is more in line with the sale, or the part of this sales was moved to May. For April, will be not a good month, but will be better month in March and May for the calendar issue, not only for Easter, for the weekend in or the composition of weekends in April. In fact, March was a good month in comparison with April. April will be a not good month for this reason, and May will be a good month for us for the better calendar composition as well. But if you see the accumulated numbers, it's very, very in line with the same store sale verified in the first quarter 2017, the level of 3%. It's in the accumulated number, it's the number. In the second question, remodeled performance, we finished some stores in the end of the month. In the end of December, and in this store we have 3 or 4 or 5 months on track, and the performance was very good, has been very good with in terms of the sales and also in terms of the margin. That was a positive surprise because we are including in this process, in the remodel process, the more perishable products. And in this product, we have a better margin with a very, very, very good answer from customers, increasing the mix in the perishable products. With very, very good result in the gross margin and also in the EBITDA margin in those stores. The store that we finished in March of this year in the first month the growth is good, but not in the level of 15% including in our project evaluation. But we need to wait 2 or 3 months more to verify that the performance will be finally in the level of 15% more than the rest of the store, as was assumed in the assessment of the project. But in general, the performance good, and this performance allowed to ratify that we need to continue with our plan for the next stores of for the full plan with 130 stores in Unimar. Therefore, the decision is the same after to see the first result in the store remodeled in 2017.
Thank you, Arturo.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Karen McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Hope you have a great day and that you'll join us next quarter. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.